You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And good afternoon, good evening. It's the 3rd of December, 2017. And we're on Studio 9 Jam on YouTube. Accept no substitutes. No combinations of Simon Parker's name are the real one. Studio 9 Jam is the one. And tonight, here we are. Simon Parks, good afternoon, good evening, how are you doing?
Hi JP, hi listeners. Well, I can't believe it's December. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's whacked by, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, it's gone by really quickly. So I'm fine, thank you, yeah, still good. How about yourself, are you okay?
I am very well. Gotten over my latest bout of ascension symptoms. They call them. Well, you know, there's a lot of, you get a lot of headaches and stomach issues and things like that as the energies rise and you know, we're all purging along with every, you know, along with the world.
Well, perhaps that's a good phrase to start with. Purging the world. Let's purge the world. All right. So, this last 9 days have perhaps been some of the most busiest, not for me personally, but for me keeping up with things and talking to people and changes occurring that the last sort of few days, I've not seen anything like this for a very, very long time. Positive, not negative. So I want to run through some of the things that are happening and are slated to happen. There's a guy who's doing the rounds at the moment, and his name is Robert David Steele. He's a genuine guy, as far as I'm concerned, and he's an ex-CIA, not a handler in the sense that we would understand the word handler, but a CIA case handler. This is a guy who would have a certain number of individuals or operations, and his job would be to coordinate that. So he's not a field man necessarily. And he's been popping up and doing a number of interviews. Now what was interesting was on our last radio show, JP, I'd said that there was a lot of gold hidden in tunnels, and that's what the Vietnam War was largely about, and to a lesser extent the Korean War. And that's why Donald Trump and Putin et al. Were meeting in North Vietnam. And on the blog that we have, that you have, there are a number of people, trolls, I suppose, people who just don't have much brain, really, who were saying, oh, it's all nonsense, Simon Parks has gone too far this time, and it's all hot air, etc., etc. And then a few days later, Robert David Steele, ex-CIA, and that's without question, ex-CIA, comes on and talks about gold hidden in caves. So you heard it here first. That's not to take it away from Mr. Steele, but the information that I got was probably 3 days ahead of what he got. But the very fact that an authenticated CIA, ex-CIA, beg your pardon, operative, was saying what I'd said a few days beforehand should really put an end to people who think that I blow hot air. And there's a number of YouTube videos with this guy, Robert Steele, being interviewed by different people. So if you grab some time, they're not long, only about 20 minutes or so, you can have a listen to that. He's quite interesting because some of the information he's got, I've got. And also, somebody sent me a link from Benjamin Fulford, and I did listen to that, and I would agree with most of it. The only thing I won't agree with is that Benjamin Fulford has said that the HQ for the CIA, which is the Langley base, was actually raided by the Royal Marines, beg your pardon, by the Marines, the American Marines. Just for our American listeners, we have Royal Marines in this country, so I got confused. The Langley base was attacked by or raided by Marines. That is not the case. However, what the British don't understand, because we don't really have it in our country, is that the American Marines also have their own air assets. And for a long time, the Marines used the Harrier jump jet aircraft, which was a British invention. But I can say that a number of aircraft belonging to the Marines flew very low passes over the Langley base to warn them. And the Marines have the word Marines written on the side of their aircraft, so it was very obvious they were doing. Now, that's important because the Marines are loyal to Donald Trump. And we talked before about CIA or the FBI or the NSA and how these organizations are riven between some supporting one group, some supporting another group, but the vast majority sitting on the fence, waiting to see which side is going to become the power play leader, and then they'll jump into bed with that individual. So that was important, that the Marines have actually shown that they are prepared to be a tool of the president. And in this case, it's for a good purpose. Some of the files held by the CIA were passed prior to this, were passed to the NSA. The NSA encrypted them because they have the best supercomputers in the world. And they believed that they had some of this information, which related to paedophilia. It related to lawmakers in the United States, to members of the press and media, to members of Hollywood, to the legal side, and some military who had indulged in paedophilia or who had been blackmailed by compromising photographs when they were in a paedophile situation. Those codes have been released. Now the question is whether, and passed to the president, the question is during this holiday period whether the president will release them. Now, you would think that he would just release them straight away. The difficulty for him is that a lot of the names there are members of his own party. For British listeners and European listeners and world listeners, Donald Trump is a Republican. And some of the names held by these organizations are Republican and funders of the Republican Party. However, Mr. Trump, President Trump, has a real opportunity this holiday period to release some names. And that's really important. Some of these names who have gone into hiding, semi-hiding, are people like George Soros and Bill Gates. And I did say, I think on the last radio show, that $100 billion had been moved from a lot of businesses by George Soros and put into the Soros Foundation, partly to carry on some of his schemes, but also as a fallback position. So he's stripping assets out of his companies and trying to protect them because he's being circled. That's a very good way to use it. Watch out for other senior leaders in companies like, I don't know, Facebook, Google, Amazon. All of these players who have strong links with Mossad, with Israel, and are probably looking very warily at people like George Soros and Bill Gates and thinking, well, if those guys can be put on the run, then we can. Israel is also under huge pressure. It's never been under such pressure. A number of deals that other countries have done with Israel has been cancelled. And look for President Trump. Reneging is not the right word, but cancelling a huge arms deal that the previous president, that's Obama, had done with Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. So look for Trump going back on that deal and not providing Israel with a lot of hardware. That's very important. I also talked last show about the North Vietnam meeting, where we had Putin, Trump, and I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who was the president or the prime minister of Indonesia. And those guys met, and those three had a sort of a 20-minute talk. And I'd said at the time that the reason for this was because of the gold. We talked about Dragon Gold, gold that was originally stolen by Japan and is finding its way back now to China. And it's that gold that Indonesia has so much control over that will fund the new currency that China, and Russia and India are so involved with. Trump was vital to that, because if that gold currency comes on board on stream in December, as it's supposed to, it could knock out the petrodollar. And so I think Trump wanted to have some reassurance that, that it wasn't going to be the end of the American economy overnight. So that was the important part about that. When we talk about some of these paedophilicas, I want to go back to it, because that's, I think, the biggest thing really for me and what's happening at the moment, that there are a list of names now of these people in some of the biggest organizations, the organizations that we would expect to see them in, but also in organizations that we wouldn't. And if we look back to the days of Bill Clinton, and I say to people, I was chatting to, did another little radio interview on to America to Ted Maher a few days ago. And I said that, look, people like Bill Clinton, when they were outed, he was having sex with an intern. The only reason that that came out was because he had upset somebody more powerful than him. You know, we don't get the top people being thrown to the citizens. We get the scapegoats. And what had happened was that Bill Clinton had reneged on a CIA drugs deal, because both Clinton and the CIA were running separate drugs cartels. And Clinton tried to make a move on the CIA to take the slice of pie that they had. And that's why they dished the dirt on him. Had he not done that, they would have hidden that forever. We've got lots of information now on the Clinton Foundation. And I'm absolutely rubbing my hands with glee, hoping that the next 4 weeks we'll see some very, very damning evidence coming through for people that we expect, but some people that we don't expect to be implicated. I am expecting some arrests. Will the top people get caught? No, not on this circle round. But as the circle draws closer and closer, then that certainly is going to happen. So I'm going into the Christmas period very positive that key players have the information at their fingertips they need to really bring about some change. And also that the, what we call loosely the cabal, are never been so weak. I know that we read about it a lot on YouTube, and you know, perhaps sometimes we get a bit sick of it. You know, they're going to fall tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes and they don't fall. And then it'll be the day after and it never happens. But the reality is this time there are some very big cracks appearing in their armor. And I've never been so hopeful. This is a really sort of a hopeful broadcast, really, in the sense that the people who are in the position to do something have now been given some information, and they've got nothing to lose. If I said to you that I'm aware of three attempts by the Bushes to remove Trump in the last 9 months, you know, that might surprise people. I'm aware of three attempts. That's how worried they are. That's why the media, main media, established media, the lies, still controlled by the satanic forces, are absolutely hell-bent on trying to discredit Trump. But of course, he's now got lists of names. So I would expect these attacks suddenly, miraculously, to die down, because nobody who's, you know, been involved in paedophilia wants to stick their head up above the parapet. So I wanted to do that. I wanted then to talk a little bit about some of the work that I've been doing. People are aware that I have sessions with people, and only twice in 7 years have I been attacked by black magic during a session. And last week was this only the second time in 7 years that something had the audacity to have a go at me. It wasn't my client's fault, but it was something around my client which attacked me. For the first 3 seconds I couldn't speak, which is quite unlike me. Then it tried to attack me in another 3 minutes later, and this time it was weaker. Then it tried again on the third occasion, and this time it was so weak that it couldn't do anything. So I'm reminded that many people who do psychic work do put their head above the parapet. I'm not just talking about me. And, you know, we do take on this type of work. And I just wanted people to know that, you know, it's not the sort of normal run of the mill work that, you know, we would understand. Sometimes those of us who are in this field will come across some of the most, not just interesting or bizarre, but some of the most evil energies, on the planet. So that was, a good reminder to me that there are still some horrible, nasty things out there. But ultimately, if we don't let them beat us, they can't. And I think that's the message I want to end on, that if we have a strong vision of humanity, if we have a strong vision and a purpose of what we want, and we all can do that, then that's going to help this situation along. You know, I've never asked people to bear arms. I've never asked people to take to the streets and cause violent demonstrations, because ultimately that feeds the energy into the cycle and then the bad guys can use that. But I have asked people to be civilly disobedient. And I think this time around we need to just hold the course for the next 4 weeks and see where we get. So very positive. There's a great deal taking place behind the scenes. I've never seen it so busy. It has to be because we are now ending 2017, 2018, and I was not the only commentator, what are we talking now, 5, 6, 7 years ago, who projected 2017 and 18 as big changes. I remember sitting in my then front room being interviewed by Miles Johnson. This is a good few years ago now. And in fact, actually, Wynne Keach was next to me, and we both independently talked about 2017 being absolutely crucial. And if we look back on what's happened, just because we've had false flags, I know they're negative, but it's a sign that humanity is raising its consciousness, because the bad guys are resorting to these attacks. We've never had so many fake attacks in our history on this planet. And the reason that they're one after the other rolling them out is because that's all these brain dead people can do. That's all they can do. My favorite term is the evil nasties. That's all they're capable of. They cannot think outside. They can't actually come round the table, apologize, and see if we can work something out. This is their stock way of replying, and it hasn't worked. You know, the people of America, the people of Great Britain, didn't roll over and die. We didn't turn on every Muslim. We didn't turn on anyone that didn't look like us. Ordinary people who are not awake and aware are now walking around shaking their heads saying, you know, this isn't right. Something's very wrong. And also want to reiterate that people of Britain will see more police officers on their streets this Christmas than they have ever seen before. There are some very prominent markets, malls, which are almost deserted. Yet there are other lesser well-known markets and malls which are absolutely heaving with people. And I have talked about it before, but as we run up to Christmas, I'll repeat it, that Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, had a secret meeting in October of this year where she was told that the white middle class were not going to go to the shopping malls because they were frightened of being stabbed or blown up by Muslims. So yes, the false flag has got that threat and fear in, but look how it's impacting, because the corporations realized that the middle class were not going to spend money in their stores, and their stores dominate the traditional big corporate shopping malls. White middle class people were going to, or are going to, the smaller little marketplaces, the smaller shopping centers, where there are more independent traders. So the big corporates in Britain got Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, to do a U-turn on her policy, and she recruited and paid for 1,400 extra armed police. Now, to the Americans, that doesn't sound like anything, but remember, you guys, we don't routinely arm our police. So the whole object of putting all these extra police is not because there's going to be any more or any less terrorist attacks, but because they're trying to reassure middle-class people, come back to the shopping malls, spend your money, because we'll protect you. So my point is, do you see how the evil guys do something and it works against them? Now, I've been out, like I suppose many of us have, to shopping malls and market stores, and you go out at Christmas, and I'm having a lot of reports in how some of them are absolutely deserted and others are packed. So that is why, ladies and gents, you're going to see more police on the streets than you've ever done before. But it's not because they're expecting more terrorist attacks. And that's really, I want to do that. I'm the 17th. I won't be around because I'm doing a conference, but I have agreed with JP I'll do 1 hour's pre-record. And then on Christmas Eve, I've also said I would do a 1 hour's pre-record. I want to do that because I want to look back on the year. I do think that 2017 has been pivotal, just as 2012 was pivotal. And so Christmas Eve, I want to do a live, if JP will have me, a live show, and I want to just go back a little bit on how we've done, because I think 2018 is the year we break free. So thank you very much for your patience. Thank you, JP.
So, Simon, yes, very good. We're going to do something on the 24th. We're going to have some live shows, special live shows and things like that, to go along with the Christ Mass energy rather than the false thing. So, starting with our questions from one of our regulars, Nuk-Choris, why are holidays centered around children? Hello, Simon and JP. I was wondering how come most major holidays are centered around children, and in particular, giving things to children. During Easter, there's an Easter bunny that gives chocolate to kids. During Halloween, we make children dress up and go from door to door and ask for candy. During Christmas, children are given presents by Santa Claus. There's also a yearly tradition before Easter, which in Denmark is called Fastelavn. Google says it's called Shrovetide in English, where kids dress up in costumes, use baseball bats to smack barrels with images of cats on them, and eat sweets. What is the deal with these yearly traditions involving kids?
Right. It's a very good question. There are two answers to it. The first is the less evil one, which is corporates. If we think of a big traditional hamburger store, certain arches that hold up the roof, you can take your kids and have your kids party there, and you get a good deal, because those kids are going to be the adults of the future, and they're going to be marketed in, and the customers are going to come back and come back and come back. So from a corporate point of view, it makes sense to engage with children, because if you can get your kids to, we call them pumpkins, but the Americans call them jack-o'-lanterns. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as trick-or-treating. There's no such thing, never even heard of it. So, you know, the corporates will bring or export something that means they make money and gets the kids into this role, so when they have children, they do the same. So that's the easy to understand money-making deal, and that's very genuine. That's exactly what these corporates do. The questioner isn't really asking about that, though. The questioner is asking about the use of child energy for satanic purposes. And if you can engage with people and you get them to play the game, then they unwittingly give their approval. And, you know, we live in a world that if you don't sign on the dotted line, and you don't say yes, or, you know, gentleman's handshake, if you don't do that, then you've not given the approval. But in the energy world, it's not quite like that. So by dressing up as a ghoul, or going around trick-or-treating, or having the Easter bunny, you are being engaged with by a cult that has a controlled energy on the planet, and it's almost as if it's saying, well, look, you know, 20 million humans engaged with this, therefore they must want it. That's the key. If everybody stopped going to church, the church would collapse within weeks. So the church is saying, well, we are wanted, because look how many people come to the church. It's far less than it was 10, 20 years ago, but still in many countries it's a large number of people. So in energy, in black magic, if you went to somebody and you say, look, you know, I want you to drink this red wine, because it's the blood of Christ. But we're going to put real blood in there. Nobody would do it. So they have to have deception. So that's why it's a cup of red wine. I mean, for goodness sake, why would anybody want to go to a church, kneel down and drink the blood of Christ? What is that about? You know, drinking blood, that is exactly what the satanic cult individuals do when they murder children. They drink blood. So we need, I think, to try and get the message across that much of what we accept as a bit of harmless fun is actually deeply rooted in very traditional, actually, stories and histories, which are not fake but are real, that have taken root in what is a beautiful planet, with beautiful people. And I've always talked about the fourth dimensional energy, which is used to craft this evil. The things like Satanism and paedophilia do not exist in the fifth dimension and higher. They only exist, as we understand it, in the third dimension, that's our world, and the fourth. But when the fourth dimensional energy was brought here, that's when all this corruption came with it. So we need to understand that people aren't inherently evil, but they are inherently easy to corrupt. And that's what's occurred. So it's a fourth dimensional control system. I don't want to stop anybody's fun. You know, if I had the power, would I stop Easter bunnies? No, I probably wouldn't. But what I would do, is I would want to explain exactly what all of these, elements are and who they come from. And you can trace them back to Babylonian gods, and you can trace them back even further. So I think people need to know that when they buy a sweet, with such and such an image on the front, that they might actually be, in a very small way, feeding, not their child with their sweets, but feeding some entity or some force. Now, you can't go to unawake and unaware people and just hit them with that, because that's just too much. But what we can do is bring evidence, and that's what I'm hoping in the earlier address where paedophilia, I hope some of these names are going to be named and it's going to come out. Because once that floodgate doors are broken, then I'm hoping that more will come out and people will actually see this is not isolated incidences. Oh, look, there's a Catholic priest here. Oh, look, there's a scoutmaster here. Oh, look, there's this guy in Hollywood. They're actually interconnected. They are all part of a very big spider's web. And the sooner that ordinary decent people understand that, the better, because they are going to be so disgusted that they will want something to happen. So it's a really good question. I understood why you were asking it, and you're absolutely right. There's a hidden agenda under all of that. Thank you.
How interesting that our listeners lost the audio during that last thing, but it's here, recorded in at least three places. So, do your worst, boys. And we mean boys. So, let's go back to... That's a great question there, Nuck. From Selena, where does the flat earth theory come from? I feel that it just isn't true. How is it that apparently so many people are almost possessed by this idea? Thank you for your help, Selena.
That actually is no one's asked me that before. That is an interesting question. I think many people look for alternatives. But instead of looking for alternatives to the truth, they'll look for alternatives that just seem right to them. And I mean, look, that's good enough. The only reason I got particularly fed up with the flat earth was that so many people were writing in, and I'd already made my position clear. You know, if I've made my position clear, I'm not going to change it. You know, it's not going to happen. So I would suggest that it goes back, right back to the times of Stone Age. You're looking at a culture that was spiritually hugely advanced, but scientifically, technologically poor. So if you stood on a piece of land, you would, to your eye, would appear that the land ended and the sky began, or the land ended and the ocean began, and it does appear to be flat. So it's something that's deep in our psyche. You know, it's something that, you know, how does a cat know how to pounce on a mouse if it's never seen a mouse before, but it knows to pounce on it? And there's certain things that we all do instinctively. And so I think that along with many things, you know, like most humans are unpleasant with the dark. It's something that's linked in there. And of course, there have been a number of things to try and push it. Why would certain people want to push the idea? Well, maybe they believe in it, and that's fair enough. You know, if someone has an opinion, then really need to let them speak, and we really need to listen to them. But there are some very nasty reasons for doing it, because if we were to go back in time, we would understand that when the term science was coined, certain theories started to challenge those people who were in control. Now, they either bended or faked those theories to suit their own. And where they didn't, like Tesla, for instance, they just got rid of it. So a lot of the science that we have has been changed and altered to keep the status quo as these evil nasties want it to. And a human race that is pretty dumbed down would accept that we were on a flat earth, would accept that they have to do what they're told, accept they're very happy to have a job, and thank you very much indeed. That's what they want. They want people with no expectations, no ideology of what they want. They want kids to stop saying no and yes sir, no sir. That's what they want. So peddling very simple answers is what they do. And for goodness sake, I mean, look at YouTube. When I go on YouTube, some of the adverts are just inane twaddle, and some of the shows are just, I think a chimpanzee would probably be very bored after about 15 seconds. And yet this is what is being pumped out, not because all of the viewing audience want it, but because these satanic controllers are under instructions to not make people stupid, because they don't want that. What they want is learned people, but only people who can recite what they want them to learn. What they don't want is free thinkers. If you're sitting watching a load of nonsense for hours on end, you are not developing, you are not questioning, you don't have any time to look into yourself and develop yourself. You are looking at two people fooling around, or in a voyeuristic situation where people are being thrown out like Big Brother, all of these programs. And that is the way it is. And I just see the flat earth as just another little way of people being taken off the true path. So that's my answer. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I always thought it was like a honey trap to find the gullible.
A lot of them about.
Right. Okay. Meanwhile, long dream. Okay. This is from Capture the Power in Arizona. I recently had an entity attachment removal process done by a reputable person who is known for their work. In the report I received, it said I had these negative attachments. A very tall white Draco reptilian with wings described as very negative, an Anunnaki that identified itself as reptilian, and a military grey alien attachments. I am trying to figure out how I could possibly have reptilians or greys attached to me. I am a nurse and have spent my life helping others. Can you provide any insight? Thank you for all you do. Summer in Arizona.
Well, thank you, Summer. It's not as rare as you might think, sadly. First of all, it depends on the soul in your body. If the soul in your body has a long history on the earth and has in past lives dabbled in positions of power, responsibility, magic, if it's been incredibly psychic, if it's been a warrior for light, then certain negative entities will wish to engage, either because they want to piggyback on you, because you've got the sort of portal technology, the energy frequency they like, or they're terrified that you are going to activate and you'll be a force for good. Therefore, they want to try and stop you. That's the main reasons for it. Sometimes we have contracts. That's not that many. I know it's quite a popular theme within the industry, but actually it's not that many. Generally, contracts are for one lifetime. They can be for longer, but generally for one lifetime. But normally it's a direct attack in that life. So you're scanned when you come in, you're born, the soul is scanned, and it's, oh goodness me, let's just pull out, let's jolly old Palladians. Oh, we've got a Palladian here, but not just any Palladian. We've got a Palladian that gave us a real hard time 20 million years ago. Now, why on earth have they come to Earth? They must be here for a purpose. Right, we need to get in here quickly and prevent them from getting back their memories, getting their power. We've got to try and disrupt them. We'll try and get them married off to somebody who will take them down the wrong path. They'll try all of these tricks. We'll try and stop them having a decent job, not having any friends, etc., etc. Now, if you're a nurse, then you're caring for people, and some people who are ill have attachments. And there's quite a jump across where if you're in, you know, in a situation where a nurse is with a patient and the patient is dying over a period of time, that entity will think, well, this ship is sinking. But this woman keeps coming to visit me every Friday, and, you know, she's quite psychic, so I'm going to leave this one and go and join that one. So there are a whole host of reasons why that could happen. If you have white Draconis, then that is more in keeping with a soul in your body that has had connection with them in the past. It is very, very unusual to be attacked or associated with a white Draconis just for the hell of it. It doesn't happen. Very few of these beings about. They're very careful with their time. And also they wouldn't associate with something that wasn't, as they considered, worthy. Remember, this is their opinion, not ours. So if you have seen or you've had that, then that's the case. The other thing I just want to say, I don't know who you went to see, and I wouldn't want to know, so I don't comment on other people generally. But it's always very difficult for someone to say, you know, you have an attachment. It looks like a chap in a red coat with a sack on his back and a white beard. Oh, it's Father Christmas, for joke's sake. But let's just say someone says you've got a character. Well, if you as the individual don't know this, then unfortunately it's their word on yours. And you have to make a judgment whether that individual is really seeing that and whether they're trustworthy. Now, in most cases, they are trustworthy and they are genuine because they have a gift that they can see and you can't. And the reason for that, of course, is it how the world works, because if everybody could see these fourth dimensional entities or interdimensional entities, then these guys would be out of a job because they couldn't get into your body or infest your auric field. So most humans don't see or feel these creatures, but they do feel something's wrong. And that's the key. So if an individual has seen them and you felt there was something wrong, that's why you went to him or her, and, you know, they've done that, then you should see quite an improvement in your life. So my answer is, in your case, I would think because the soul in your body, in many lifetimes, has been in a high position and has had connection with these beings. You may yourself have inhabited a reptilian body. You know, if you go back 20 million years ago and you were in a female reptilian body and you were blood bound to a reptilian male, well, they'll still come looking for you. That's the way it is. So, yeah, it's a good question. Thank you.
When we mean forever, we mean forever.
It seems that way sometimes.
And is it possible, you know, these are things that we talk about, like contract removal and things like that. Is it possible to release these long-held and probably toxic relationships?
It is, but it's incredibly difficult. I've not talked about it for quite a while. There are more contracts that people have than they would perhaps realise. They're the obvious ones and the less obvious ones, and some don't matter, but some really do. You've got to have a key to break the contract. You see, most contracts just run on a lifetime basis, but some contracts can be soul connected. So it doesn't matter what body you actually have, that contract still runs true. But, you know, there is this get out of jail card. Sometimes you have to pay quite a price. But it is always possible to revoke contracts. Some are much harder than others. But in most cases, you need a key to do that. And I did talk about it about 5 or 6 years ago, where it's sometimes something that's happened that you have a memory back. And that's a key memory. And in order to invoke the get out of jail clause, you have to appreciate that part of the memory and understand that that contains the key to then saying, you know, I'm cutting my connection with you in this lifetime, and anything that may or may not have been agreed in the past finishes now, etc., etc. But that won't work on its own unless, generally anyway, unless you've got this key. So yes, it can be done, but it's harder to break a contract than it is to remove an entity. For me, to get rid of an entity from somebody is reasonably easier than someone who has a contract, because if they've got a contract and they've had that contract since Atlantis and they've been coming back here regularly, then that contract is, it's pretty cast iron. You know, and whilst it can be broken, it's very difficult. That's a good question. Thank you.
Excellent. So, this is a question from, Ellen. And this is, it's basically about, you went to Darlington Great Hall recently, November the 24th. She could not participate, but would so much love to hear it. So, do you know if that's being broadcast elsewhere or webcast?
I don't even remember. When did I do that then?
November the 24th, Darlington Great Hall.
Oh yeah, not, you said Darlington.
Did I?
Oh, yeah, I must have been thinking of
someone special.
Okay, well, we would refer to that as Darlow, and I was thinking, Darlington, did I go to Darlington? Well, maybe you know more than I do, JP. No, I went to Darlington.
Oh, actually, hang on a second. The topic says Darlington, and the question says Darlington.
I'm just
reading.
Okay. No, it won't be, because there was a private session between myself and the London Connecting Consciousness group, because it's the most active group, obviously in the country here, and it's commutable for me, then I will attend when I can. And that's not recorded because, you know, the CC group, Connecting Consciousness group, is a family, and you know, it's a family get together. What I do for other Connecting Consciousness groups, I do it by Skype. Now, I'm on Skype, you can get up to 10. So what I will do is, you know, meet one group, I don't know, Tuesday morning and talk to 10 of them, and then a half an hour later, the next group of 10 and so on. But because this is the country I'm based in, then I will personally go and visit my CC group. So I went there as my Christmas visit. I wanted to show my support, my love, my admiration for people to hold true to a path, to talk about, you know, how we have to fight off ego, how when we form a group, no matter how spiritual we start out, then, you know, we can get hijacked along the way. And that's part of our learning curve, isn't it, to learn. So, no, it won't be recorded, and it shouldn't be recorded, and it shouldn't be reported, because that was a private session. However, on the 17th of this month, I am going down to conference, down in Devon, and we're hoping, although I will be a live speaker, we're hoping David Icke has agreed to come on and do a Skype presentation, Sasha Stone, and several others. So that should be exciting. However, I won't be hanging about, I'm afraid. It's quite a long way for me. It's quite a bit of a haul. So I won't be sort of hanging around for an evening meal or anything. I shall just be shooting off again. But if anybody is in the location and they want to hear some of the other speakers, not just me, then, you know, please do come along. It's very reasonably priced. The advert is up on my website. So I'm sorry. No, what happened there is just between the London CC group and myself. I will tell you this. I will tell you this. It's funny, and I'm not giving any names away, but it's worth it. During my little talk, I have a little talk first, and I give them the heads up first because they're part of my group. And I said, this is a lovely house we're in. Very kind. We've been allowed to, you know, meet there. No charge. Very kind. And I'd said, you know what? It always reminds me because this house overlooks a park, and, you know, the Illuminati always insist that all of their members, whenever they have a house, it must overlook a park. Now that's not widely understood. That if you are a senior member of the Illuminati, then you buy a property, it must overlook a park. Unless it's like an apartment and it's like in the centre of London and, you know, it's there just for one or two nights, you know, put important people up, etc. But generally, even then, it might be over Regent's Park or Hyde Park, etc., etc. Anyway, I said all that, and the person said, you know what, this house used to belong to the Rothschilds, and everybody roared with laughter. So they did. The house used to belong to the Rothschilds, and that's why it was opposite a park. I won't say which park it was. And it's nice when things like that happen because, you know, I make statements. I come out with things. And for many people, it's, well, I've got no means of backing that up. So when that happens in a very personal and private setting, then everybody thinks, yeah, that's great. So that was funny. But other than that, no, I'm not giving any more news away. Thank you.
From Nathan. Hi, Simon. My brothers and I have been raised by the same parents in the same environment, and we were not treated any different to each other. Yet, the three of us all have different personalities. So my question is, where do personalities come from? Are we assigned them before birth? And if so, who chooses? And how does this entity decide who gets what? Thank you for your time.
Good question. The answer is yes. When the soul enters the body, remember you are not born yet, when the soul enters the body, then that is set as to who you will be. However, there are physical genetics which carry memory, but the soul does carry great deals of memory. You could have a family of three, let's say, and you could have a Lyran child, a reptilian child, and a Siren or Sirius child. And you would have a situation where the Lyran child would be absolutely terrified and angry with the reptilian child. And the personalities would change and reflect that. So for me, it's a very straightforward answer. It's the soul in your body dictates how your organic, your brain, transmits its need. So the soul has a need to advertise and to be clear who it is. And so the soul doesn't actually see the physical body as totally separate. We must understand that. It's a real partnership. So if you're a reptilian soul, you're very unlikely to have a big fat round body. If you're a reptilian person, you will be slim, stroke thin, and reasonably tall or tall. That is the way. However, if you're a royal reptilian female, you'll actually be quite small. That's another thing people don't imagine. They think, oh, you're reptilian, you'll be 6 foot plus. Not always. So you could have exactly the same upbringing, exactly the same parents, treated the same, and yet be totally different. That, as far as I'm concerned, is to do with the soul and the body. And if you come, and people who are listening to this, if you've had a large family, think about your brothers and sisters around you and who acts in a sort of a reptilian-y way. Who is the person when you were a child that shared his or her cake or sweets with you? Reptilian people find it very difficult to share. You know, I have 10 chocolate sweets. They're mine. I'm not giving them away. I'm not going to give them to you. Whereas a higher human might say, well, look, you know, you can have one of these. Because it's a different attitude. You know, the reptilian guy who's got his little house and he's put a fence around it and he's out there washing his car on the Sunday morning and then he's mowing the grass and, you know, he's staring out the window, don't you come near my property. That's a very reptilian element. The difficulty is that the reptilian culture has been dominant for a very long time, and so that's been stamped over the normal loving environment that, that humans should be in. So those of you who had come from large families, try and think about your brothers and sisters and, you know, who acted in one way and acted another way. And often to this day, you'll find people in their 30s and 40s who don't have much connection with their brothers and sisters because one might be Palladian, one might be reptilian. Now, the more interesting question for me is, why would you do that? Why would you incarnate in a family that's not going to work together? The reality is, it's about trying to work together. It's saying, can we make this work? You know, if a Lyran child and a reptilian child can actually get on really well and work, they have made a statement that they can make friends and they can work together and love each other, brother and sister, and therefore that energy goes up and it's a blueprint for others to say, well, they can do it, we can do it. So I believe that in many cases, not all, but in many cases, divergent souls incarnate in the same group to try to heal the barrier. And it's as much to do with the reptilians. The reptilians will also attempt, individual reptilian souls will attempt to incarnate to try to heal. Because as I've often said, in the fourth dimension, it is illegal to change the law. You can't do it. So if you want to change the law, you have to change it on planet Earth and hope that the energy shift goes up the tube and begins to change things at the top. That's a good question. Thank you.
Hang on, can you go through that again? You can't change you can't change the law if you're
in the fourth dimension. If you're in the fourth dimension, I'm talking about the negative guys. If you have a policy or you have a way of doing something, if you were to change it for the benefit of everybody, then that would be seen as changing your whole culture. So the greys can't do it, different reptilians can't do it, some of the tall whites are struggling at the moment with it. They're not allowed to do it because it's a bit like, you know, in Great Britain, the House of Parliament. You know, Parliament can put any law out it likes, but the Queen has to sign it. So if Parliament said no more paedophilia, they're unlikely to do that at the moment, but let's just say they said no more paedophilia. If the Queen doesn't sign it, that does not become law of the land. People don't get it in this country that the Queen, it's called the Royal Assent. If she doesn't put her signature to any particular bill, it cannot be enacted in the law of this country. And in the same way in the fourth dimension, that it's not going to be enacted, it can't make a change. So for instance, let's take the Draconis. Many of them want a rapprochement. Many of them want a end to the division they have, and they want to actually evolve. But to do so would be to, you know, have your head chopped off, basically, because it would be anarchy. So what they'll do is they'll incarnate in bodies on the planet, and those bodies that they inhabit are far more open to change, open to emotions, and their hope was that they could begin to influence their own family members, and they could turn around and say, well, look, we're not changing. It's that lot down there changing. But because they're changing, they're forcing us to change. So that was one of the tricks, really, they were using to try to alter their way they're going. Hope that helps.
Okay, so we've got one more time for one more question for them. This is kind of following on. No, really, is talking about the law. In the book, The Law of One, The Raw Material, it is said that our Logos created the veil for us to learn faster. So the veil is considered as something positive. On the other hand, some insiders say that the veil will fall sometime after the event, and we will be able to remember our past lives if we want to. Please, could you explain what will happen with the veil after the event? I doubt that the veil, as the creation of our Logos, can be fully disseminated. By the way, did you have a chance to meet with one of the Putin's advisors, as you were going to say, as you said you were going to last year? With love and kind thoughts to you guys and all the listeners, Roman from Russia.
Oh, it was really good. Let's go to the last one first. No, we haven't. Too many attempts on people's lives at the moment. Not my own, I hasten to add. The cutting of the brake cables was quite enough for me, thank you very much. And if, interesting enough, I just mentioned that, you know, there have been three attempts on Trump in the last 9 months. So a number of key players will be meeting once. Let's say the most important thing for Putin now is getting this gold currency up and running officially. That is an absolute key point for him. The second key point for him is taking down the Bush/Clinton cabal. When that occurs, I think he'd be more prepared to come out of his fortification, his castle, and start meeting around. It's very funny, you know, and just as an aside, I was hearing some commentators saying, can't understand why President Putin walks so funny. You know, many people have been saying he walks in a very strange way. And if anyone isn't aware of that, please find a video, anything it could do with May Day parade, it doesn't matter, anything where he's walking, you'll see that he's right-handed and he'll keep his right arm down by his side. It doesn't move. His left arm swings as he walks, but his right arm always stays close to his side. And there have been lots of people who've asked me, has he had a disability? Has he had a stroke? You know, all the negative people. Oh, he's had a stroke. He can't take the pressure. No, it isn't. He was a member of the KGB. And in those days, when the KGB agents were trained, they were trained to keep their right arm near their gun. That is why he doesn't swing his hand. He keeps his arm down beside so that he could reach his gun quicker. So that's just an aside. So at the moment, these people are very, very cautious. Do want to meet with him, but I think it'll be 2018 before we get the chance to do that. We've got a member of Connecting Consciousness who speaks English and Russian very well, and he's certainly going to be invited to do the translation for me. Certainly President Putin speaks English really well, but refuses to speak in English. So you can speak to President Putin. You can ask him a question in English. He'll understand it, but he'll reply in Russian. Okay, that's just the way he is. So that's it. Now, I've forgotten what the first question was now, JP.
Okay, I'll just remind you. It's about the veil.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Sorry about the double-barrel question, because I know that sort of often... You know, So this is about what will happen to the veil after the event?
Oh, it will just completely go. It will completely fall like a velvet curtain and will just drop. It will drop because human consciousness will just rip it to shreds. That's what will happen. I take a bit of issue with the concept that the veil was given to make us evolve faster. Without the veil, we would have evolved much faster. But with the veil, we would have evolved so quickly, maybe we wouldn't have learnt our lessons as fully as we are learning them. And there's a subtle difference there. What is better, to evolve quickly and not have the full answers, or to evolve slowly and have the answers? And for those people who can remember the childhood, the tortoise and the hare, where they both started a running race, and you know, the tortoise plods along, the hare runs off very fast, covers a lot of distance, and thinks, oh, that tortoise. And so the hare lies down and eats a lot of carrots or whatever hares do, and falls asleep. And when he wakes up, the tortoise has won. So I think that when a person is held back, it is their choice whether they rant and rave and rail against it, or whether they say, what can I learn from this? That's really important, because we are in these physical bodies each lifetime, and we really should try to say, let's try and learn as much as we can so that the next time we're around here, we don't have to go back to square one. You know, how many times have we all gone back to square one and we just don't know it? So let's take every opportunity that we can to evolve. Thank you. It's tea time now, I think.
I believe so. And we're going to be playing a fabulous album I've been rediscovering. And I played it on the show a couple of weeks ago, and everybody's like, wow, what brilliant music. This is from 07, and the album's called Simple Things. It's just very chilled. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Connecting Consciousness with your host, Simon Parks. Hello, Simon. Do you have your special announcement thing that you do after the break usually?
I do. Usually. yes, thank you. I used a bit of a donation money to help two people. I don't generally do it, but sometimes I feel moved to. There's one person, there's actually two, but one person has taken me up on it, one person hasn't. Person who'd on social security money, you know, didn't have a job, has a disability, and looked like they might be getting cancer. This is in America, and didn't have any insurance, and for people in Britain who are still absolutely horrified at the fact that if you don't have insurance, you often can't get medical care. And so I did send some money to this individual so they could go to hospital and have some checks done to see. So I did that. There was another person who was being abused by a man, and I gave her money to get out of that country. We weren't talking £100, a couple of £100. But I did that because I wasn't prepared in both those cases to sit back and not help. So that's something I did. But generally, the money's not used for that. It's used for me to live, pay the bills, travel about, keep the car on the road, you know, keep a mobile phone, cell phone, pay the bills, electric, gas, the power, all of those things that all of us have to struggle through. But without your donations, it would be very difficult for me to do it, because nobody would give me a job. Well, that's not true. They probably would, but then they would say, we hear you on the radio. We don't like the fact you're doing that. Either you get off the radio or we'll sack you. So at least this way, people who donate keep me and others doing the work we're doing and keeping us on focus. So thank you, Glenn, Natalie, Sarah, Aura, Rudolph, Charlene, William, Lewis, Nan, Carlos, Daniel, there's a Danielle later, Daniel, John, Stephen, Bright Eyes, Stefan, Christian, Alan, and Jana. Thank you, Jana. That was a really very kind donation. Thank you. Becky, Sheena, Natalie, Francis, Louis, Eric, Virginia, Katrina, Lug, Daniela, Petra, Shari, Carlucia, Pamela, and Perry. That was a very, very good donation. Very kind, very grateful, Perry. Thank you. Bob and Sandra. So to that's not everybody. It's just a sample of people who've donated. Thank you so much. Some of those names appear regularly. Some are brand new. And the fact is that, you know, you guys have kept me, and I know JP and others that you donate to, you keep us going. And it is worth saying, as we approach the end of the year, that, you know, this life isn't for everybody. You know, it's, you are doing something by showing your support. And that's one way that, you know, you can, you give a few pounds and you know that you're keeping that sort of battle going. You're doing your bit. And I honestly, truthfully can tell you that if it wasn't for this support, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. So, grateful, thank you.
So, the question topic is food for thought. My name is Keith, and I am from Scotland, and I have one question. Does eating garlic and dark chocolate help prevent reptilians from eating us humans? I've been sending messages to Simon Parks requesting help for more than a year and a half, and I've not received the response.
Oh, dear.
There has been a suspicious death in my family. My 14-year-old sister told her mother that she was going to die in 2 weeks' time. And my mother and another sister had an encounter with a UFO. I am an identical twin, and I'm having terrible health problems, and so is my sister, who has the UFO encounter, and family life has been hell. My mother died on the 1st of January 2012. So, Keith from Scotland, does eating garlic and dark chocolate help prevent reptilians?
It might keep a vampire away. Eating garlic will not keep a reptilian away. Otherwise, we could say no Italian. I think Italians like garlic, apparently so. No Italians would ever be abducted. The dark chocolate. No, I've never heard anything like that at all. I personally don't eat dark chocolate. Just too strong for me. But I don't think eating garlic or dark chocolate would have the blindest bit of effect on anything. Sorry that you haven't been able to connect with me. Some people have been trying for 2.5-3 years and then they finally get through, or their messages finally gets through. And of course I'm interested that you were talking about a twin. And we know that the evil guys are particularly interested in twins. It's not just been Adolf Hitler. It was in the Babylonian times, right back in history, where twins were seen as a great potential for the dynasty, for the ruling elite, and in later date for experimentation. So it's not unusual for twins to have had some form of contact, either with satanic forces, military forces, or off-planet entities, particularly the Greys, and particularly reptilians. So, just try again, please. Please try again. But that's my answer. No and no. Thank you.
This is from Alexander. Hello, Sam. Do you know which books on the Anunnaki are the most accurate? I'm interested in buying books written by Zechariah Sitchin, Michael Tellinger, and Gerald Clark. Do you recommend books by these authors? Thanks for all your help. Eternal question.
Yes, I do. I do recommend books. Look, it's up to you what you feel resonates with you, but reading a book from Sitchin, for instance, obviously everything is subjective in the sense that it's your interpretation. When I talk about my experiences, it's my interpretation. But someone can be truthful, but they can feel differently from someone else, or they can, put a different slant on it. But ultimately, a truthful man or woman will give the truth, and the authors you've given are truthful in the sense that they have had those experiences, or they have genuinely decoded the old texts. And if you want to understand about the Anunnaki, then you find much more online than you will in a book, generally speaking, because most authors find it very hard to officially publish material about the Anunnaki. They're just not allowed to publish it, so they have to self-publish. But even then, it's coming to my attention that a number of self-publishers, you have to get the authority of whoever they are, beginning to say what you can and can't put in, even when it's a self-published book. Unless you go to the printers yourself and do it, and you know. So, online, if you are looking for books, then Zechariah Sitchin doesn't actually explain who the Anunnaki are, but does explain the time zone of the Anunnaki, does explain the power play going on, and the reptilian lords giving way to the Anunnaki, and the Anunnaki then becoming the shopkeepers and running amok. So the shopkeeper's given a list what they should sweep the store at 7 o'clock in the morning and then clean the windows. They do that for the first, I don't know, 5,000 years, and then they think, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do something for myself. And that's what we've got. We've got a load of shopkeepers who are indirectly stroke directly related to the Anunnaki, who have given up the plot. And instead of managing the planet, they are managing it for themselves. And that is exactly what we've got. A whole host of people who are totally disassociated from the human race and see people as merely creatures that have things they want, whether that's the money in your pocket, whether it's the gold in your teeth, whether it's your children, whether it's your energy when you go to church, whatever it is, that's all they see people as not important, a necessary evil. One very high-ranking Illuminati person once said to me, we see people as a necessary evil. So that is really the sad case of these people. That's a good question, thank you.
Implying that evil is necessary.
Yes.
Here is from Kyla Jerry, or Kyla and Jerry, maybe. Humanity's freedom. Hi, Simon and JP. Since America has Trump to combat the evil satanic forces, how is the battle being fought in Britain? Is the key changing point of perception when the economy crashes? On another note, for some time I've been able to see a stream of flowing etheric patterns in rays of light. Do you know what this is? Have a good Christmas to both you and everyone listening. So, how is the battle being fought in Britain?
Let's do it the other way around. The stream of light is interesting because you're possibly seeing the encoding coming in. I've talked before, and I'm sure others have, how the frequency of light from the sun has changed. And it is the encoded information hidden within that frequency of light that has activated the planet and other planets in the solar system. So it may be that you are glimpsing the coding coming in. If so, that's really exciting, really exciting. Well, I think some key countries to look out for: Japan, Israel, Italy, France, and Great Britain all could see in the very, very, very near future some big turbulent changes. The answer to your question is not necessarily through the economy. In Great Britain, depending on who's going to win, there is a very real possibility of a very large sex scandal breaking widely public. At the moment, it's contained within the House of Parliament, just occasional bits making it out into the mainstream news. Making it out into the mainstream news only because it's so well widely known in Parliament, and has been for a long time, that unless the newspapers begin to cover it, then they look complicit, which of course they are, but they'll look complicit. And their dwindling sales numbers will be absolutely decimated. So they have been, you know, nibbling around the edges. The reality is that there is a whole dossier now of sexual related incidences with members of parliament of all parties, but predominantly the government party of Great Britain at the moment. And if that comes out at the same time that Mr. Trump is able to release the names of paedophiles over the holiday period, then that actually could bring about a change in government. Now, it's very interesting. Well, I think it's very interesting that over the last few months, we've seen, and I won't become party political, we've seen the Labour Party, which is the party of opposition, suddenly changing from the party of opposition to a government in waiting. Now, that's a sea change. It's the first time for a very long time that we've had the Labour Party, when it was in opposition, being seen as a government in waiting. And that's not because in the days of Tony Blair, the Labour Party, when it was in opposition, was seen as the government in waiting, because the money backers were backing Tony Blair. They actually wanted the Socialist Party in power because they had Tony Blair. Now this time, they don't have the guy who leads the British opposition party, just as they don't have Trump. So maybe Source, the great creator, is saying, let's have a man in the United States of America, and let's have a man in Great Britain, neither of whom are controlled by Mossad, Zionist forces, the bankers. Interestingly enough, Jeremy Corbyn, the guy we're talking about, made a speech and he basically attacked bankers. So I think if it's not the economy that brings a short, sharp shock and makes people change, it will be a list of sex offenders predominantly in the ruling party, which could bring the government down. And I'm not joking. It could bring the government down, because all you're going to need is 5, 6, 7 conservative members of parliament who are forced to resign. The government's majority already doesn't exist. And then who would want to be associated with a party like that? We could well have a general election in Great Britain any time between January and June of next year. So it's exciting times. That's what I said. I have never known since 2012 so many changes, so much hope and optimism, all happening so quickly. It's very exciting. Great question. Thank you.
Fabulous. And, of course, the question is, are we going to lose you? Are you going to stand for prime minister and go campaigning and get yourself elected and do all that stuff? Because, you know, from what I can see, once they've gotten all the sex offenders and the paedophiles out of the cabinet, the room will be empty.
There's an old adage in politics, which is you never put yourself forward, because it's in Great Britain, it's seen to be very rude to put yourself forward. And there's an adage that politicians say, which is, and I quote, "If my country needs me, I will serve." Isn't that funny? That's what they say. I had a very active role in local politics, served 2 terms of office, in a city council. For the Americans, we would call it a district council or a borough council in London. And then when I moved to North Yorkshire in Whitby, I served term of office in my local town council. I would go back to something like that if the system was radically overhauled and people became the focus of what you're trying to do and not money. That's the key. When you sit in committee at local government or national government level, it's not what do people want, it's how much will that cost. Let's give you an example. And I use this sometimes at a conference, and I'll probably do it on the 17th when I do my talk. Let us say that, hypothetical, school, busy road, and there's no pedestrian crossing. So I always say to people who are very middle class, who think they've done very well, I said, okay, how would you get that crossing built? And they'll say, well, you know, I'd go around knocking on all the doors, get a couple of hundred signatures, and then go to the council and make my case, and I'm sure it would be successful. And I say, stop right there. That the very first moment that you said you would have to go knocking on the doors shows me that you may have a salary of £70,000 a year, and you may be very middle class, and, you know, but you have no power. And they look at me quite shocked, you know, because they believe that on a salary of 70,000 or 100,000, that, you know, they're quite influential. And I say, no, the real influential people pick the telephone up and they say, hello, Tom, this is Jim here. I want to traffic lights. I'm on a zebra crossing here because, do you know what? My kid's crossing the road and I don't like that. And it happens. So I said, what you need to understand is that power resides with a very few people. And the way that we envisage that we make changes is not the way that we should do it. And as it stands at the moment, somebody with my views, if I was true to them, which I am, I couldn't operate in the political system as it is at the moment, because it would be like JFK. Someone would want to put a bullet in my head because I would be working against the system, because I would be saying people come first, not money. I would like to be in a position, and I'll be honest with you, I would like to be in a position where there was disclosure and there was a higher human federation backed off planet meeting, and I could be one of the people who would at least advise a government in terms of not panicking, because one of the things I'm really worried about is when certain truths come out, there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, as we say here. There's going to be a real panic, not from the people, but from those who have always held power. And I think that, you know, if anything was learnt from America's terrible situation with Iraq, it's a transition of power. It's a transition period. I don't want somebody else coming in who was an evil man 3 years ago, then saw this all coming, ducked down, and then re-emerged. I don't want another set of criminals coming in and selling themselves as the saviors, etc., etc., and then just taking over and doing the same thing. I want a complete and utter removal of everything. Go right down to the foundations and then start up and involve people in that decision-making, create a constitution, create what we think is important. You know, it isn't just the obvious things. It's how do we educate children? You know, what do we do about vaccinations? What do we do about the way the courts work? Because nothing is actually designed for the individual. Everything is designed to protect the organization, the corporates. How many times have we phoned up a call center and the voice on the other end says, we are recording this call for training purposes? It's got nothing to do with training. It's got everything to do with them saying, haha, you said this and we recorded you. Well, listen, next time you make a call, ladies and gentlemen, say to the young woman or the young man on the call center, do you mind if I record your phone? Do you mind if I record it? They'll hang up on you, or they'll say, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Why can't you do it? Can't do it because you're an individual. So the power has completely shifted to the corporates. You know, we've seen in my lifetime, in my own lifetime, in the last 40 years, I've seen a country, Great Britain, with reasonable civil liberties been transformed to nothing more than a prison. Now that might seem very shocking to some people, but I am not 20 years old. A 20-year-old knows no different. He or she, the world they're in now is the world they can remember from the age of, I don't know, 11, 12, 13. Hasn't changed that much. But I can remember back when the amount of freedom we had was much greater. And the control systems have been placed here on us, not because they're needed, but because it's about the elite knowing who we are, where we are, what we're doing, and to influence us. So I would want an opportunity to do some good. It's in my nature to do so. But I certainly wouldn't do it if there was a chance that I could be corrupted. And that's why I got out of politics. Because not the individuals necessarily are bad, but the controlling system is such that if you don't play the game, then you go nowhere. That's the best case scenario. Or they'll try and get rid of you. They'll try and, you know, really, really make it so that you can't be re-elected. And what I did was I appealed to the people, the voters. So I went over the heads of the elite and I appealed directly to the elected. And that's what JFK did. So I was elected after I'd gone public. which was a game changer because it meant that nobody could turn around and say he's lied, let's remove him. And, you know, they couldn't understand how ordinary people who they thought they brainwashed, who they thought they controlled, could vote for me. Because they thought they'd got it sewn up. And basically, you know, people like Simon Parkes will never get into positions of responsibility because we control the ordinary people. But they're losing control of ordinary people. Ordinary people are not happy with their life. God knows how difficult our life is. People say, oh, in Victorian times it was difficult. Yes, I'm sure it was. But all this technology is supposed to have made our lives easier. I don't think it has. It's just enwrapped us more and more in sellotape or cellophane. We're more smothered. So I would love to do something. I would love to do it, but not if it meant compromise of the human race. I will not sell out. You know, I will not do that. And that's why I survive on a bit of work that I do and donations, because otherwise I'd have to be compromised. You know, how many people are there who are working in jobs that are controlled by the system but can't do what I do? They'd love to, but they know they can't. And I'm, you know, there for the grace of God go I. I've got this fortunate situation where people care enough about me to support me to allow me to go on and do that. And until the system is smashed, yes, that's what I said, until the system is smashed and that individuals can have opinions like mine and, you know, and survive in a standard way, we don't have freedom of truth on, you know, your radio show, JP. It should be state-funded. There should be, you know, you can't apply to the cultural fund. You can't apply to National Lottery. You know, if you're a council and you've got a big park that was built in 1890 and some tumble-down old buildings, you can go to the National Lottery and get £1 million, £2 million to do up your park that a few people use, a couple of dog walkers, and that's it. You know, that's not what that should be about. It's all about big people have more money. Corporates have more money. One person once said to me, banks only lend money to people that don't need it. It's very true. You know, it's, you know, football clubs getting national lottery money. It's just ludicrous. So everything needs to change. Everything. And that takes time, but we don't want panic, and I want a smooth transition. So yes, if the opportunity ever came along, of course I would, because why would they do what I do to fall at the last hurdle? So it's a great question. Thank you.
So Simon, there is a question. It contained the keyword, and so I placed it into the chat room that is behind our conversation. Are you able to see that, or do you want to look at that later after the show?
Okay, thank you. I've read it.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a big misunderstanding. Yeah, definitely. Great.
Okay, so do you want to go on to another question, or do you want to say anything about that one?
Well, I think the audience will wonder what's going on. What's happened is JP has sent me a text, some information, and related to one of the questions from a client, and I misunderstood what it was about, but that makes it clearer now. So yes, of course I'd want to work with somebody like that. Sure, no problem.
Okay, so you know who you are. So the next question is from Kamal. Dear Simon and JP, thank you for your hard work that you've done this past year. My question is, on my last one-to-one session with Simon, he told me that my soul was from Arcturus, and that I've been visited by the greys and reptilians, and through this childhood trauma, I have blanked my mind. This is the reason I don't have very many childhood memories. I'm always trying to meditate, but my mind goes into the dark. And also, I have had a few past life regressions, but they draw a blank, too. Is there anything else I can do? Kamal, many blessings.
Oh, okay. We talk about past life regressions. I don't know if he means hypnotherapy. There are different ways of doing it. The Dolores Cannon method, I think, is pretty damn good. if a person is not able to evolve because they have this blockage, and the blockage is such that it affects their ability to ascend, and I'm using the word as we all understand it, then I would say that hypnotherapy is a really good way forward. I don't usually push it, but there are some occasions when it's vital. When a person has some trauma in their life as a child, 90-odd percent, perhaps that's a bit high, 75-80% of the blocking is done by the child, his or herself. The rest is done by the abuser, or if it's not abuse, it's just terribly shocking for the child, by whoever's coming in and, you know, presenting to the child. But nevertheless, there's a block there. Now, if the block is created by the child, then hypnotherapy or one of those sessions, if handled correctly, and that's the key. You see, there are plenty of decent, good people out there that can help you stop smoking or anything else. But if you go there and you say, listen, I may have had some trauma as a child, I may have been abused, or, you know, the greys may have come and visited me, you will find 99% of these people will hold their hands up and say, listen, I can't deal with that, I'm sorry, I'm blocked, etc. There is a small number of people who can, will accept it and have worked with it. Now, that's important that you find those individuals. And it's not fair to expect hypnotherapists without that background to tackle that. If it's a blockage you've put in there, then it requires a different way to unlock it from when that blockage was perhaps artificially placed in by an external force. So the individual who's going to do that would have to know the difference and know how to do it. That depends on what's happened to you. If it's purely and simply that, that's not too difficult. The harder part comes when someone's been programmed through abuse to resist getting their memories back. I'm going to give you no names, but I'll give you a real life instance I had with somebody 3 years ago. This is a guy who was very genuine, wanted help, but didn't want help. And I need to explain that. There are many people, the soul wants help from me, but their mind is mind controlled and doesn't want that help. And that's why I always say to people, imagine, especially my American clients, imagine the Grand Canyon. You're on one side and I'm on the other. And there's a rope bridge between the two of us. If you can walk 51% across that rope bridge, I can help you. But if you can't, then you're not ready. You may be in 6 months or a year's time, but I can't help you at that point. And this individual had been, we don't swear, but there's an American word for having your mind played with. I think listeners will know what I mean. And he had been done so by a mafia stroke Illuminati background. So it was not just Freemasonry, but Freemasonry and mafioso, very, very from the Italian group. And he had terrible abuse, and he had alternate personalities, and he was an assassin. And like several people who are high profile and are in prison at the moment, he had killed people. But it had been his alternate personality that had come on and done that. And he was quite open with me. But he had a lot of blockages. Now, what was fascinating was that one of the tools that I use for deprogramming, and I'm not going to say what that is, but I use one tool for deprogramming, and he remembered as a five-year-old child watching the same thing that I was going to use, and he was being electrocuted while he watched it. The point being there was they realized that whatever it was, I'm not going to say what it is, that's readily available, is a key, crucial deprogramming tool. So I think they call it aversion therapy. So he was being electrocuted whilst watching a certain video, so that if I showed the video, all he would remember is the pain from the electric shocks. So he couldn't be deprogrammed, that's the key word, by that particular approach. So there are many reasons why we have blocks. Sometimes they are quite straightforward and simple, where something traumatic happens, a reptilian walks through the wall, or appears to walk through the wall. We go into meltdown or shock, and that's blanked from our mind, and therefore we, you know, every time they come and visit us, maybe four or five times in a year for some people, then they do not associate with anything in the room. So one of my key questions to people in this scenario is, did you have any toys to play with when you were 5 or 6 years old? Can you name me any of the toys you played with? And these are key questions. We also have to be aware that when there's a walk-in, when another soul comes in and takes the body, they don't always transfer the information. So let's say, for instance, a Palladian soul enters a human body at the age of 7. Anything prior to that is almost, it's just the memory banks aren't there. So often somebody will say, well, I don't remember, you know, kindergarten, or I don't remember this and I don't remember that. It may not be they were abused or had threats. They may well have had a walk-in and the souls did not transfer the information. In the last 7 years, I've had the privilege of meeting 3 or 4 people that contained 2 souls before one went away. So say, let's say, for instance, the reptilian soul was in the body, the Palladian came in. There's usually a quick handover. But in those few cases, they resided for about 12 months together. So there's lots of reasons why we would be blocked. But the key for you is to find people that understand. Otherwise, they'll be banging on down a certain road, which it won't do you any, I don't know, do you any harm, but it just won't take you forward. And for those very, very rare cases where people have suicide programs or self-harm programs, going to an untrained hypnotherapist in that field is disaster. You cannot afford to regain your memories if you believe you've had high-level MKUltra or Monarch programming, unless you have somebody who is there to deactivate certain programs. So always take advice, research those individuals. Do they have the knowledge? And if they have the knowledge, then by all means approach them. It's a good question. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. Gummy yoga. I appreciate your interpretations of this world and your courage to lead by example. Thank you. I have a question about the nature of light. We talk about light in many ways. Some of us are light workers. Some say we are beings of light. Thomas Edison and crew created a light bulb. Oh, right. On the first day, God created light, but did not create a moon and stars. Things we think of as sources of light. Until day 4. What exactly is light? Is it more than one thing? Should we have more words to describe different types of light? Thank you from Jeffrey from Chicago, Illinois.
Let's take away the light bulb. If you think about pure energy, we could describe that as light. In light, there is no room for any doubt or any evil or any, I say darkness. I don't mean it like that. There's no place for corruption. That's a much better way for me to describe it. So when we talk about the light, we're talking about an uncorruptible white light. And we have to be careful because it doesn't mean that white is good and black is bad. Otherwise we'll fall down the trap that so many in the past have fallen. But the reality is that the frequency of light becomes higher as you go up the spectrum. So we think of white light, but I think of pure light. I think of love as a form of light. And if it's uncorruptible, then the bad guys can't do anything with that. You know, if you put a gold coin on a table, then people will fight over it. But if you write the word love on a piece of paper, who will fight over that? So it's about saying love and light has no monetary value. It only has the value that good people give it. So you can't go and buy food with it. You can't go and buy a motor car or a cell phone with it. But you can show somebody love and they can then repay you in love. And there's no money, monetary value. There's nothing there. And if you say, well, listen, I'm going to love you and I might get something back, that's actually not quite right. If you say to somebody, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to give you this and I don't want anything in return, that is the purest gift you can get, because then if someone gives you something back, then you've educated them. And I've said this story before. I'm going to give it again. It's about a good five, no, it'll be longer. It's a good 10 years ago. When I lived in Whitby, I had an allotment. I really love, you know, growing things in the ground. Although I didn't have the sort of time that I needed to do it properly. And there was a real lovely old gent who had the allotment opposite, and he had a bit of a mental condition. He just collected wood, literally any bits of wood he would collect it, and his house was full of sticks and outside, and the allotment was just one pile of wood. And one hot summer I was watering the allotment with a hose, and he didn't have a hose. Typical Yorkshireman wouldn't spend any money, and he had a watering can, and he was walking backwards and forwards, you know, from the tap to water his garden, his allotment. And I had a sunflower, and it needed a big stick to hold it up. And I said to him, oh, I can say the name. His family won't listen to this show. Although his son works at Filingdale's Space Radar. So perhaps I won't say his name.
Let's call him George. Can we call him George?
We'll call him George. So I said, George, hey, George, have you got a stick for my sunflower? And he stops dead and he says, no, I haven't got a stick. And I'm looking at a humongous pile of sticks against his shed. And he's 3 feet away from this humongous pile of sticks. And he's swearing point blank that he hasn't got any sticks for me. So anyway, after a while, I said, George, we're calling him, George, would you like to borrow my hose to water your garden, because it'll save you a lot of trouble walking backwards and forwards? To which he says, no, it's all right, I've nearly finished. 3 minutes later, he comes up with a stick. Because the culture is, if I give you something, you feel honour bound to give me something back. That's how bad it is on this planet. We should be in a situation where if I give you something, I'm not giving you something because I want to call a favour in tomorrow or I expect something in return. But we have this thing on this planet about, oh, I'm beholden to you. You know, you've done me a favour now, and if I don't give you something back, then you've got me at a disadvantage. And this is the programming we have to overcome on this planet. So love and light are actually the same thing. And that's my answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Here we go. Right. This is Paul B, and I was having suicidal thoughts and attempts after my session with Simon. I'm glad to say I've raised my vibration and have not had any bad thoughts, and the ones that do try to enter my field get swiftly handled. My connection to you, sir, has saved my life, and for this, I think you need public recognition from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Now, if possible, could you tell us at least the top 5 vitamins or supplements we should be taking and your inside knowledge as to why we should be taking them? Thank you. Right. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone.
Well, first of all, thank you. I don't get much public feedback, as you could understand and the audience can understand, because if you've been in that situation, only a very brave man or woman would come on a radio show, even with a question like that, and say things like that, because most of my clients want to forget the hell, and I'm going to use that word, forget the hell about it, because they were in an incredibly awful position, and I'll take them and put them into a much better position. Why would they want to remember where they were? And many people want to forget everything, including me, because when they see me, it reminds them of how low they were. And so, you know, often I'll not see my clients again. So it's great that somebody has had that. And what I need to explain to people listening is that when I work with a client, I don't go through a system of checklists or, you know, this, that and the other. I work on a psychic level with them. I work on an energy level with them because much that afflicts humanity is not physical. It is on an energy level. So I'm really glad that, you know, you've had that advantage and you've got better and you've gone through with it. So stick with it. You will be attacked. All of my clients who have been deeply in the control of the cabal, who I release from that, will still be attacked. But those attacks grow weaker and weaker as time goes on. Don't be, the main body of the question, don't be tempted to go to a certain high street and buy a tub of multivitamins, because they've probably got absolutely very little useful sustenance in them at all. You are much better off doing proper research online and finding reputable, small, usually small, organizations that specialize in minerals. I mean, there's a certain high street, I'm going to be so careful here, a certain high street store that sells supplements who's owned by an estate agent. And you find that organizations now that perhaps were once experts in certain fields are no longer. So what I would say is, and JP, you're going to go with the D3, aren't you?
D3, absolutely.
Yeah.
And C, as pure as you can get it. If anyone can get me, I love those little fizzy ones, but I don't like the aspartame.
No. So, the other one I'll just quickly come back on is that, I've got to be very careful. I had to take my cat, another cat, to the vet. Had to have x-rays, nearly broke the bank. Not the high street bank, but the bank of Simon Parks. But fortunately it was all right. But what's interesting, the reason I'm bringing it up is because the owner of this vet's chain, it's not just one office, it's a chain of vets, was the chief executive Vision Express glasses, spectacles. And what you've got, the point I'm making is that there are people now who are buying out, whether they are vitamin factories or vitamin retailers or what have you, and they know nothing about the organization. All they are is businessmen. And this is where a businessman might, I'm not saying in this case, but might say, oh, look at this tub of multivitamins. It costs £2.50 to the customer. It costs us £1. But you know what? If we take everything good out of it, fill it full of rubbish and sawdust, it only costs us 3p. So research, go online, and look at the conditions you've got. Look at the physical conditions you have. If you're in a situation where you work and you don't get much sunlight, have a look at what supplement might help you. If you're one of these typical people that don't like their vegetables, look at that. So don't just go for what people tell you. Look at your own physiological conditions. Look at the way you're living. Think about mine and other people's warnings about how we're being poisoned or polluted. Do your research as to what vitamins actually can help you to fight that. So I'm happy to back up JP and the D3 and the C mineral, but I don't want to give you a list. I would much rather that you looked at your own physical body, did your research, and you chose what was appropriate to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. This is slightly, well, it's from Poland, so I'm going to sort of paraphrase it. Right. So I'm from Polish country. I'm disgruntled by the Polish church and stupidity of most of faithful and good, honest people of the God. I want to know, what is the role of Poland in the world and the Polish people's blindness, the Roman Catholic deception, and what can the citizens do to be free from this madness? This demonic activity must be stopped. God bless you all. Much heart from Poland people. Thanks. Goodbye.
Well, thank you. You're right. The demonic activity must be stopped. It must be stopped. I'm not going to criticize a people. I think what we would do is we would understand why a people are the way they are. If you're a landlocked country and you've got big players around you, you'll have a certain psyche. You will create a certain way. I mean, look at the British people, the English people, let's be quite blunt here, the English people who had an ocean and always had an ocean around us. And as a result of that became very arrogant. You know, the last time Great Britain was successfully invaded was 1066, 1,000 years ago. So if you're in a situation where you have Austria next to you and you have Germany on one side of you and you have great big for hundreds of years power play going on, then if somebody comes and establishes a church, maybe you take to it far easier than you would had you much more independence. So I'm not going to say the people of Poland are any more stupid than anyone else. I think that if you are a rural setting, a rural community, and you have only in the last recent few years moved to an industrial setting, then you are more likely to embrace religion because you are relying on somebody else. So think about in the Second World War when the Russian troops broke into Berlin in May 1945, vast numbers of those Russian troops were peasants and they'd never seen running water. But remember, we call it a tap and you call it a faucet in the States, but they'd never seen running water. So what did the Russian troops do? They got saws, blades, sawed off or hacked off these taps, faucets, carried them all the way back to Russia and thought that when they turned them, the water would come out. Now that, you'd let me fall about laughing, but actually that shows the level of education. So someone like that, if you could sell them that when you physically die, God is going to take you and is going to make you live forever, you'd go for it because you have been so limited by your learning capabilities because the information around you has been so poor or hidden from you. Remember, the Tsar treated his people appallingly. Never mind Stalin. So what I would say is that the people of Poland are no different from anyone else. It's just that the situation they had conditioned them to be more taking of religion than others. The British people, the English people have always been, you know, let's use an English saying, up yours. I'm not going to do that. Think about the time of Henry VIII and his schism with the Catholic Church. He couldn't have done it unless the vast majority of the people of Britain were behind him. So I just think that, you know, if you're in a country that's had a lot of issues and problems, you will turn to God. The difference is that my understanding and the understanding of the listeners is that the God that we understand is not the God that is the God of the Bible.
Simon?
Yeah?
We're right out of time.
Oh, there you go then.
So, maybe this is the subject of one of those, famed webinars that we were going to do.
No, that'll never happen because you always promise it, but you never have the time.
Well, maybe I should start making time.
Okay.
And
well,
talk about it seriously. Maybe in the coming year, Okay. Thank you very much, Simon. Any parting words?
No, because we're out of time.
All right then.